What if the thing that you've been chasing for a while, that you finally obtain, isn't the thing that heals you? What if the degree that you've earned, that you spent 4 to 6 years, maybe longer, that you finally obtain, doesn't quite quiet those insecurities that you feel? What if the job that you've been applying so hard for the past couple of months that you obtain doesn't quite silence the abandonment? What if the applause doesn't fix the loneliness? What if the visibility doesn't make you feel known? I know I'm starting off this episode with questions, but these are questions you must know. You must begin to ask yourself. We are a culture that believes achievement equals the arrival, the journey, the silver lining, the brass ring, that if we get enough success, we'll finally feel integrated. But what if success upgrades your lifestyle? But within your lifestyle changing and things looking much, much better, what if it leaves your wounds untouched? Today, I want to talk about something that there's seeds being planted within the discussions that's being held, but doesn't quite get talked about enough, especially amongst high-achieving Black men, along with mission-driven leaders and people who grew up surviving. What if success doesn't heal you? That is the topic of today's episode, the lies that success told you. So stay tuned. First and foremost, welcome to Outreach with Reggie. If you're new to the podcast, please like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and be sure to join on all platforms, that being Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and many of your major markets out there. Thank you. If this is your first time, be sure to do so and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about OWR. And if this is your second, third, or fourth time, or you just found a nice little home in OWR, I want to personally thank you. Thank you for making this a podcast that you can trust, that you can share, that you can maybe even listen to on your destination. With that being said, today, we're not going to talk about hustle culture. We're not going to talk about motivation. We're going to, like always, attempt to dig a little deeper. And we're going to talk about the lie that success, that we try to get success to fix, that we believe that success will fix what pain created. Because a lot of us were taught, directly or indirectly, that if we just work hard enough and that if we just achieve enough, we will finally feel whole. And that belief, yes, it drives careers, brands, it fuels ambitions to be the stepping stone to everything that we ever want to achieve. And within achieving that, there's a hidden component that hides trauma. So as we go into that, we're going to go into the first segment, which is something I talked about in the last episode of Black on Both Sides, which is integration. But we're going to call this one achievements versus integration, because there is a difference. And within that difference, I called it assimilation before, but we'll say achievement for this episode. Achievement is external. It's the awards, it's the highlights, it's the names, the accreditation, right? It's everything that you can touch. Well, integration is internal. Achievement is the measuring stick of work, it's the byproduct of the work that you've done. Well, integration is something you can't touch, something that's intangible. Not intangible, but it's something that's felt. You can achieve without integrating, but you cannot integrate without slowing down. And that is the problem right then and there, because a lot of high performers never slow down. Psychologically speaking, high achievement can be a coping strategy. When your early environment was unstable, when safety wasn't guaranteed, when worth felt conditional, success became proof. Proof that you are not what happened to you. You're not what you looked like. Proof that you are valuable. Proof that you escaped from the things that you had to endure. But proof is not necessarily healing in that metric. And as we look at the research in trauma psychology, it tells us that unresolved trauma doesn't disappear with status changes, because the nervous system remembers what the resume tends to forget. The resume may tell us that, hey, he's a very high, he or she or they are very successful, high achieving, all of the awards, accolades, dean's list, president's list, summa or summa cum laude, valedictorian, or whatever the case may be, right? If as you go higher for the creators, you get the awards, you get the notoriety, you're achieving everything in this world that has all to offer you, right? You can change environments. You can change income brackets. You can change zip codes. But if your body still anticipates the danger, you're still surviving. And I posed a question last episode, and hopefully you guys felt comfortable in answering that. And that was, if struggle was your identity, then what are you without it? What are you when the struggle's gone? What are you when everything that you hope for is happening for you in real time? What are you when that happens? And when it happens, how in touch are you with yourself? Are you still choosing to heal, choosing to recover, or are you completely abandoning those portions because you have everything you ever wanted? And maybe that's fulfilling the hole that you may feel inside. And if I can challenge you once more with another question, did you want success truly because of all of the tangible things you can grab? Or did you want relief? Did you want to feel something? Did you want integration of the intangible things, to chase the intangible things to fulfill you? Because sometimes some of us may not want the title. Some of us may have wanted the pain to stop. But as time goes on and as you chase the things that you were chasing, it may have fulfilled a place that wasn't quite checked. But within saying that, we must understand the definition of what achievement is. Now, to many, achievement can mean a degree, money, how rich we are, how high are we on these platforms that we're subscribing to, social media, or just digital media altogether, growth within self, within business, or within status. within the culture that we participate in? How high are we in the status? But integration, we must define that as well. And that may look like within integration, emotional regulation, secure attachment, self-trust, how we're able to be in touch with our emotions, internal safety, and ultimately wholeness. Because once we define both things, or what we define as achievements and define as integrations, then we may be able to answer the question of if we truly want success. Because we'll be able to understand how would we define success, or did we truly want relief? Because achievement can change your address, but integration changes your nervous system. Because you can outgrow your circumstances, but you can't outrun your wiring. So another thing, as we move into the next segment of this episode, we're going to be talking about success as socially acceptable avoidance. Because here's the uncomfortable truth. Success can be a socially acceptable form of avoidance. Nobody questions the overachiever for overachieving. Because nobody's ever going to critique the one who works 80 hours a week. Nobody tells the driven person to slow down. You're working too hard. But what if the drive isn't just ambition? It may appear to be ambition. He's working hard. He's a hard worker. They're a hard worker. But what if the drive isn't just ambition? What if it's anxiety? What if productivity feels safer than stillness? There is a concept in psychology called a functional freeze, where someone appears to be high functioning externally, but internally, it is a constant state of stress regulation, an internal fight to keep going and burning yourself out. It's like a microwave. You're like a walking microwave just internally until that microwave says it's done. Cooked. But some people don't know how to function outside of crisis. Because as I mentioned before, crisis gave them structure. Crisis gave them identity. Crisis gave them purpose. But I will reinforce the question, when everything is calm, who are you? And many feel disoriented when everything is calm, silence, because it's easier to climb mountains than to sit in silence. It's easier. Very easy. But there's something important that we have to also discuss as we go into what is socially acceptable and how avoidant it may be as we understand what we entertain within our culture. And that is being visible versus being intimate. There are people who hear me on this podcast or may hear me doing my public speaking engagements, or even so much so see my life. I have many friends that told me, oh, you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. It seems like everything's come together. You're super strong. But they don't know my fears. They don't know what I experience, my insecurities, or what I may go through. And maybe because I hide it well. It's very intimidating. As you enter a level of growth, especially growing up in care, once you get to the highest of highs, I remember hearing something from Will Smith describe those who hit rock bottom and the other side of rock bottom. You may feel alone at rock bottom, feel like no one understands. And the other side of that, no one may not understand either, because you may be the first one that's doing it. So the perception, because you know and God knows what you're experiencing in real time. He knows your fears, the things that you're feeling inside as you go into do these amazing things in your life. But many friends, family, loved ones, or people who may look from the outside in and congratulate you on how far you've came. And it's very important to take all those things with love and receive those things. But while you're alone, as you're never alone, truly, but while you're in a space by yourself, momentarily, it may feel uneasy to know that no one may ever see the groundwork you do in silence. And that's what I will describe as public impact from the byproduct of work that you do in private. Sometimes being visible doesn't mean being held. Sometimes the celebrations, many people feel like the cheers and the happiness and the excitement of it. A cheer nor excitement may not bring a hug, bring a hold, bring a held. But that's why we're talking about this, because that does not mean you should exclude it. It just means that we have to recognize these patterns or cultural patterns so we can dissect it and come up with solutions. But we'll go into cultural patterns right now, because we've seen this culturally. Elite athletes, champions of any sport, any profession, win championships, awards, and et cetera, and talk about the depression afterwards. Artist goes platinum and describes feeling empty. Entrepreneurs sell companies for millions and say that they feel lost the next morning. Why? Why is that? Because success solved success in its truest of forms, solved the external problem, but never addressed the internal wound. There's a famous quote that I stumbled and tripped upon last week, but I got it now. Often attributed to boxing culture, and that is, it's hard to wake up at 5 a.m. when you're sleeping on silk sheets. Struggle creates urgency. Comfort removes the fire. It puts it out. But what happens when struggle was the only thing that made you feel defined? Because if struggle gave you credibility, peace can feel like weakness. I say it time and time again. And as we understand that, we must understand why many of the people that we love struggle internally until it blows up and you see it all across social media. It's because trauma doesn't care about your resume. Trauma isn't a mindset. It's a stored experience. You could become successful and still be hypervigilant, because now the world feels like it can touch you. And it's through a lens that they glorify and they love. You can make money and still fear loss. You can lead others and still struggle to rest because success can fund your distractions, can feed every vice, and provide happiness beyond this world, but it cannot resolve your fragmentation. There's a sense of high-functioning trauma in that. But I'll say again, success can fund your distractions. Get you the nice car, the nice house, the luxury of things, whatever you choose to dive into. But it cannot resolve the pieces of you that feel broken and alone and feel like no one understands. But as we go into that, I want to zoom in a little bit and kind of dedicate this segment to for the individuals who grew up in systems, in particular, foster care, like myself, or unstable households or transitional environments to where survival isn't something you did or isn't something you just did. It becomes who you are over time. You learn to survive the engine that you run off of. Because when survival becomes your identity, what happens when you don't have to survive anymore over and over again? And I'll keep asking that question because ultimately I want you to be able to answer that question. When you get the degree, when you get the job, when you build stability, what happens when you're no longer in crisis? Some people experience a subtle panic, not big, not loud, just subtle enough to where it challenges your identity just to squeeze. Not only your identity, but your lens on life and ultimately the world. Who to trust? Systems to trust. Ultimately, could you even trust your own success that you did it the right way? How you ask for help? Many of my friends tell me, or even when I was younger and it was ridicule that I was met with for asking for help for things that I did not understand. And I'm here to tell you, it's okay to ask for help, but that's the panic. Being critical of everything, because if you're not fighting, who are you? If you're not proving something, what remains? That isn't weakness. It's just your nervous system. It's a form of conditioning yourself as your body got used to operating under pressure. But we have to alleviate that pressure to welcome peace, the language of peace, the movement of peace, ultimately understanding and walking in peace. And unfamiliarity can feel safe. Can feel unsafe. I mean, and it can do a lot more things as we go back into being visible versus being intimate. Visibility is not intimacy. You can be known publicly and unknown privately. You could be admired and still feel unseen because accomplishment can increase visibility, but it does not automatically deepen connection. If your self-worth is attached to performance, awards, and anything of status, if your self-worth is attached to performance, then relationships can be very threatening. It could feel that way because intimacy requires being seen without achievement. And if achievement has been your armor, taking it off could kind of feel a bit exposing. Being in those relationships that sees you when the lights go off, the curtains close, and they see the cries that you've been hiding, the internal wounds, the screams, the cries for help. It can feel very intimidating, almost to a level of avoidance. But we'll talk about that more. Because trauma doesn't care about your resume. But we'll talk about the dangerous side of success as I'll map that to be. Success can reinforce avoidance, create identity pressure, make you feel afraid to slow down. And ultimately, success, as you move throughout those fashions, it can become the new addiction. And it may require you to ask, if I stop achieving, then who am I? Who am I if I stop achieving? So, I'll give you three signs to look for. I want to make this practical. Three signs to look for that success hasn't integrated. Here are three signs that it hasn't integrated internally. First sign, you can't rest without guilt. If you're not producing, if you're not working, if you're not creating, if you're not adding something somewhere of some value that you feel needs to be there, you feel guilty, anxious, worried that you're not doing enough. Second sign, you measure your worth by your output. Busy work, but not moving. This is a phrase I love by an artist. And he says, slow motion, but in motion. Sometimes you can be moving very fast while being in pace, while running in pace, I mean. But it's okay if you're in slow motion, because you're in motion. But if you measure worth by output, let's say if you have a bad week at work, a bad week at school, you feel like it's a complete identity crisis. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. Last sign to look for is that you feel more comfortable under pressure than in peace. Because you believe calm makes you feel uneasy. If any of these signs resonate, it does not mean that you are broken. It means your identity adapted to surviving. But survival identities must evolve eventually. So with that, the real work must begin, truly. The real work must begin. But what does that look like? What does the work look like? What does it look like? Integration, to say the least. But what does integration look like? Well, it looks like learning who you are without a crisis, truly. If I take away every bit of your success right now, who are you? It looks like learning how to rest without feeling lazy. Take a nap. Be okay with hearing the calmness of the day. Listen as you go on a walk. Go for a walk. Listen to the stream, the sounds of the cars go by, the birds chirping. I bet you didn't even know that birds chirp. I bet you didn't know you had birds in your neighborhood. Listen to your favorite song. Learn how to experience joy without waiting for it to disappear. Fall in love with the little things as you go on the path of life. Stop by. Take a seat and smell the roses. As cliche as that may sound, and hopefully I didn't lose you there. Learn how to experience joy without waiting for it to disappear right away. Because no one's going to take it from you. You're good right now. Integration is not flashy. It's not something that social media can show you, that anybody can hand you, that you would even have to work for. It's quiet. It's your nervous system at work. It's reflective. It's therapy. It's boundaries. It's grief. Because sometimes success doesn't heal you. It creates enough safety for the healing to finally begin. So as we close today's episode, I want to leave something with you. Nobody talks about what happens when you win. I still don't feel safe. Nobody tells you that you can accomplish everything you prayed for, worked for, fought for, and still feel unsettled. We can celebrate the grind, and we can for sure celebrate the breakthrough. We can celebrate the quote-unquote glow-up. But if we don't talk about the moment after the applause fades, and you're left alone with yourself, what if success doesn't heal you? What if it just exposes you? Success is not the enemy, but it's not the healer either. Healing requires integration. And integration requires slowing down long enough to meet the parts of your success. That you ignored. So tonight I'm not asking you, what are you building? I'm asking you, are you becoming whole? If everything slowed down tomorrow, would you feel peaceful or exposed? Are you building a life, or are you outrunning a life that you once lived? Success is not the enemy of what you're wanting. And there's nothing wrong with success. But it is not the savior for what you're trying to outrun either. The lie is that once you make it, you'll finally feel whole. Wholeness doesn't come from achievement. It comes from integrating. And I'm with you. And I hope that you get everything that you're looking for. Even if it means finally finding peace within yourself too. With that being said, this is Outreach with Reggie. If this resonated, share, like, comment, and spark a conversation after this that leads itself to true success in your own way. That means peace. Start a conversation, sit with it, and I'll see you on the next episode. Till then, take care.